Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
If you have your Bible, hold it up. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Can you thank God for the Word today? Let's thank Him for the Word. Amen. Well, open your Bible to the New Testament, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. So we're going to begin today, and we're talking about pray first. And we're basically, bottom line, is everything that we're going through, our first response should be not panic. Amen. It should be pray first, right? It should be pray first. If we can just get a hold of that and practice that, then this series has done us good. You know, we get bad news when we go through a challenge, when we go through a disappointment, when we go through rejection, when we go through maybe a physical problem, financial problem, family problem. If we won't, you know, freak out, but pray first. I found out that the first response has a lot to do with our victory. Our first response has a lot to do with our victory and the outcome. Boy, please don't forget that. You've heard me tell the story years and years ago. Pastor Kim was out working her horse in the arena. We live out in the country. We live out in Forestdale. We've been there 22 years. And she was riding her horse, and I was in the kitchen, and I looked out, and I saw her fly up in the air. The horse bucked her off. She came landing. I saw her land and lay there. I ran out of the house, ran out to the arena. She's laying there. Thanks be unto God for the Word. Thanks be unto God. The first thing, you know, out of our mouth was, you know, the Word, amen. And she got up. She got up and she's ready to get back on her horse, amen. Could have been really bad. She could have broke her neck. She could have broke her back. But God protected her. So what we say at the very beginning determines, I think, a lot of times how long it lasts and the outcome. So if we can just get that, pray first, let that be our first response. So we're talking about the importance of prayer, and the importance of our response should be first to pray. But let me give you these four things we shared last week on to have an effective prayer life. An effective prayer life is that we need these four things. Now, I heard this week from Gallup poll, Barna, and Pew Research. This is from this last week. And they did a survey on Christians in America right now. And they said that right now, after COVID, only 20% of Christians in America are in church on a Sunday. Only 20%. And they went on to say that this is Gallup now. This is Pew Research and Barna Research. And they went on to say that when they interviewed them, how many read their Bible, 50% said they read their Bible once in a while, right now, Christians in America. And then they asked prayer, how much do you pray? And 37%, they said they don't ever pray anymore because they don't get results. This is Christians in America right now. This is the temperature of the church in America right now. Well, if we ever needed to pray, because if my people will pray and humble themselves, God said, I'll heal the land. I'll restore the land. We'll get it back. America is unraveling right now. America is unraveling. It's at the worst she's ever been. People out there are trying to redefine what God has already defined. They're trying to redefine what God has already defined. They're trying to create their own God out there, right? They really are. So we really need to pray. I'm just thanking the Lord, because if we ever needed a three-part series on praying for authority, we need it right now with the mess that our country's in. So we get results, number one, in our prayer life when we know who God is. When we know who God is. When we know who God is, it's so important that he's a good God. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's our victory. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's our peace. He's our psychiatrist. He's our psychologist. Jesus is our advocate, our intercessor. When you understand and know who God is, and we sing about ever since we met him, God's been good to us, right? That God's a good God, that changes your approach. You want to be with someone that you know loves you, cares about you, is interested in you, has you on their mind. That's God. Number two, you have to know what God has said. We need to be knowledgeable of the Bible, the Word of God. 1 year Bible at Church on the Rock this year, right? We have to be knowledgeable. We can't claim what we don't know. We can't claim what we don't know. There's 7,000 promises in the Bible. We need to educate ourselves and renew our mind and know what God has said so we can put him in remembrance of it. Has Father God forgot what he promised? No, but we got to remind ourselves what he's promised. So we need to know what he's promised so we can plead our case. Number three, we have to know how God works. We have to know how God works. God said, if there's sin in my life, he won't answer my prayer. Am I right? I didn't get too many amens on that. We're not looking at perfection, okay, because none of us are perfect, and we all miss it, and we all sin. But we're talking about habitual sin, the desire to sin. And he said, if there's sin in our heart, he won't answer our prayer. The Bible says, if a husband and wife are in strife, he won't answer our prayer. Did you know that? If there's strife in a marriage, prayers go unanswered. I need to know what he said. I need to know who he is. I need to know how he works, right? I need to know how the principles work. There's always a premise before a promise. There's always a condition I have to meet to get the answer to my prayer. So when I know that, I don't get freaked out or ticked off at God. So number four, I have effective prayer life. 37% of Christians in America right now say they aren't praying at all because it doesn't work. They don't get results. I have to know who I am in Christ. I have to know my identity. I have to know that, watch this now, powerful statement. God's ability is my inheritance. God's ability. Everything he is, everything he has, everything he can do is my inheritance. I have to know who I am in Christ, what I have in Christ, what's available to me, what's been promised to me. I have to know my inheritance. I have to know my identity so I can reach my destiny, so I don't live below what God wants me to have and be. These four points are worth coming to church today, because they will actually, you know, boost your prayer life, give you a punch in your prayer life, some nitro in your go, baby, go. Gone in 60 seconds. Had to get a car show in there, didn't I? Amen. Movie. Praise the Lord. All right, so those four things. Now, let's go to our text, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul is writing, and in 2 Timothy, when he's writing that, what happens after that is Paul is beheaded for his faith, a martyr, okay? But in 1 Timothy, right now, he's writing to Pastor Timothy, who pastors a church in Ephesus, and he's writing him and giving him instruction as a young pastor. Now, the king or the president at that time was Nero. Nero. He was one bad king, okay? He burnt Rome and blamed it on the Christians. He created in that culture and society that Christians were the problem in their society. And he killed them, beheaded them, lions ate them, he burned them at the stake, he crucified them. And eventually it was Nero, who Paul's telling us to pray for, that killed Paul. He was one bad ruler. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, the church is under persecution. It's under opposition and oppression. So he's giving them counsel on how to respond to what's going on. So he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, let's all say first of all. That's where we get pray first. First of all, so prayer should be the priority, not panic, not worry, not meth, cocaine, alcohol, something destructive. No. The first response, our priority as Christians, is we respond in prayer. Okay? Before we go on social media, before we pick it, we pray. So, okay. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, and he gives four kinds of prayer. Supplication, that's petitions. Prayers, that's corporate prayer. Intercession, when you stand in the gap for someone else, like your family or your friends. And number four, the giving of thanks. Notice that all kinds of prayer should always end with thanks. When we tell somebody thank you, it's a sign that we've received something. So when we say thank you at the end of all of our prayers, we're saying God heard us and God's at work behind the scenes for us, right? So that thankfulness is huge. Giving of thanks, be made for all men and women. Next verse, verse 2. For kings, so that would be president, right? So we can cover it if we just say from the White House to our house. That covers authority, right? From the White House, the president, the vice president, speaker of the House, Congress, Senate, governor of the state, mayor of the city, the school board, police department, your fire department, who you work for, your parents, if you live at home. So we can say from the White House to our house, those in authority, we're to pray for them. Even though we may not agree with them, totally in opposite of their policy, procedure, or manners, or how they are, we respect their office. We respect their office. And then the Bible also teaches us that we are to obey the laws of the land until they contradict the word of God. You obey the laws of the land, this is in the book of Acts, until, Peter said this, until they contradict God's law or God's word. We put God's word first. So for kings and for all that are in authority, all means all. Now, I know we don't feel like praying for some of them, but we don't go by feelings. We go by God's principles. And God said if we do this, then we can influence our society, our culture. We can change things. Because actually, you know, it's got to start at the top, right? As the leader goes, so goes the organization. As the leader goes, so goes the family. As the leader goes, so goes the church. So when you pray for the leader, you're influencing society, culture, a movement, a family, a city. This is all about influence. So for kings and for all that are in authority, why, God, that we would lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So notice the result of us doing this, there's many benefits, but one is peace on the inside and peace on the outside in our habitation, our house, our home. And everybody's looking for peace today, right? Tranquility, they're looking for some relief from the stress. So notice that when we do this, God said there's always a reward for obedience. There's always a reward for obedience. Even though you say, well, I'm a Democrat, I don't like Republicans, I'm a Republican, I don't like Democrats, I'm a Libertarian, or I'm nothing, I don't like any of them. No matter where you might be, if we pray for them, God can work on them. If we pray for them, God can work on them. All the way down to an unsaved husband, an unsaved wife, mother, father, sister, brother. If we pray for them, the Bible says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And God can turn it and change it, but God needs someone to participate and cooperate and give him permission to do it. Oh, I like it. Say it with me. I am making a difference. Okay. Verse 3. For this is good. Now, you might circle that word good. You can look it up in a Greek dictionary, and it's talking about benefits. This is good relating to results. So we should believe we're going to get results when we pray for everyone from the White House to our house, right? We should believe that it's working. It's making a difference. It's turning things around. This is good. This is not bad. This is good. And the word good there is a reference to reward and benefit for doing it. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. In the sight of God, our Savior. So notice that when we pray first, we're to be focusing on God as our source and not man. God is our source, and God is our Savior, and God is our strength, and God is our salvation. So we're not looking at man as we pray, we're looking to God as we pray. Because if you look to man as you pray, you'll get discouraged if nothing happens in the time frame you think it should. But if you look at God when you pray for everyone from the White House to our house, then you won't quit or give up, knowing God is at work. He's our source, He's our strength, He's our salvation, and He's our Savior. The only hope for America is God. He's our Savior. The only hope for a marriage, for a family, and for a home. And can I just say this to you, that when the home changes, our nation will change. Pastor, how can we turn things around? It starts in our home. Strong homes make a strong church, and strong churches make a strong nation. So if we want our nation to change, our homes, our families have to change. It starts in the home. I love that. Verse 4, who will have, this is God's will, who will have all men. It's God's will for everyone to get saved. It's God's will for everyone to experience His forgiveness, His love, and His acceptance. It's God's will for no one to go to hell. God doesn't want any human being to go to hell. Well, Pastor, why is there hell? For Satan and his demons. It was never meant for humans. But we have the power of choice. We can choose God or not, and it's up to us. But it's God's will that He wants all men to be saved. So what is He saying? Through praying for those in authority, it's possible for them to be saved. It's possible for them to come to Christ. There's no human being that they're a case that God could never rescue. If God can get intercessors praying, then God can rescue. God can save. God can restore and redeem and deliver. It's God's will for all men and all women. This is the will of God, to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Watch this now. So one of the good things that happen when we pray for those in authority is the possibility of them getting saved. Number two is, so the knowledge of the truth, that's the Bible, can be preached and shared freely and flow unto all men. So that the gospel and the message of the Word of God can be preached and taught and shared when we pray. So it's God's will for everyone in your family, everyone where you work, everyone in your school, everyone in St. Louis. It's God's will for everyone to be saved, but it's their choice. But through our prayers, God can work in their life, because God needs someone to cooperate with Him. Thy kingdom come, right? In heaven and on earth. God needs people on earth praying the will of heaven down. Okay? Next verse, verse 5. For there is only one God. Oh, my goodness. That's not politically correct, but that's biblically correct. There's only one God, and I can't create my own God. Our nation is unraveling at the roots. They're trying to redefine what God has already defined. They don't like the God of the Bible, so they're creating their own God. But there's only one God. There's only one way. There's not a whole lot of ways. There's only one way. That Jesus is the truth, the light, and the way. For there's one God and one mediator, only one mediator between God and man, and that man is Christ Jesus. Oh, I love it. I love it. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for not just a few people or a select group of people, but for all, a ransom. He came to redeem us from slavery, spiritually, from bondage, from hell. He came to redeem us, who gave himself. See, this is the gospel, and the gospel is more apt to be sent and shared and come forth when God's people pray for those in authority. Whoa, peace in our life, peace in our home, protection in our home, amen. All men have the possibility of coming to Christ, and then the Bible, the message, the Word of God, be able to be preached more freely and fluently as a result of pray first. I like it, don't you? Okay, so I think we're going to look at the Amplified now. Go back, and the Amplified. First of all, everybody say, first of all? First of all, I admonish and urge the four kinds of prayer be made on the behalf of all men. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your loved ones. Don't give up on our city. Don't give up on our state. And don't give up on our nation. Okay. Verse 2. For kings and all who are in positions, I may not like them or agree with them, but I am to respect their position. Okay? Of authority or high responsibility that outwardly, that we'll have an undisturbed life. So many people are mentally disturbed right now. Mentally disturbed right now. And you know, you talk about recovery. That's one of the reasons why we have that ministry here, is to help people who are going through mental, physical, spiritual torment. People who are in bondage, they want to be set free. They want to know that there's hope. That's what y'all do when you support this ministry. You're letting people know there's hope in God, that they can change. Amen. That Jesus came to redeem us, to restore us, to free us. Okay? So right now, there's more mentally disturbed people. You know, suicide has, like never before since COVID, for teenagers and youth. But do you know where the highest rate of suicide is according to this week on the internet? The highest rate of suicide in America this week according to the internet. Men 65 and older. Men 65 and older are the highest rate of suicide in America right now. People are hurting. They're mentally disturbed. What's the answer? Prayer. When you pray for them, when you intercede for them, you know what? God can go to work in their life. So peace on the inside, peace on the outside. Verse 3. For such praying, 37% of Christians in America don't believe it does any good. But the Bible says it does do good. For such praying is good and it's the right thing to do. And it's pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior. Oh, I like that. Verse 4, who wishes all men to be saved and to increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know correctly the Word of God. Correctly the Word of God. Correctly the Word of God. Rightly divide the Word of truth. A lot of people right now are mishandling it. A lot of pastors are mishandling it right now. They're making it say what they want it to say. Okay? Verse 5. For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and men, and that man is Christ Jesus. Oh, this is the answer. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all people. For all people. Black, white, yellow, red, brown, young, old, rich, poor. A fact that was attested to at the right and proper time. Can we have a praise break? Can we thank God for sending his son? Come on, let's praise him for hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Four kinds of prayer. We looked at it last week. We're going to go right through this. First of all, for all in authority, the results, the benefits, peace on the inside. The guys will have some of this on the screen, peace on the outside. We're going to run right through this to get to today. Okay? So Romans 13, verse 1. Can I have just five more minutes before you go to the food truck? Okay. Let every soul. How many? Oh, that includes all of us, right? Let every soul be subject to the higher power. For there's no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained by God. It's talking about positions of authority. Now, you do know that God created the family and God created the church, right? But God also created these positions of authority. They come from him. Again, it might be the wrong person in that position, right? So we pray for them. Seven things we pray for them. In just a minute, I'm going to give it to you. But then verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, you see, if I can't submit to authority, if I'm not under authority, then I can't walk in authority. That's a principle. See, I can say in the name of Jesus, but if I'm resisting authority, fighting against authority, rebelling against authority, then my authority doesn't work. Okay, it's kind of getting quiet. I have to be under authority to walk in authority. Y'all see that principle? Submit unto God and then resist the devil. Isn't that James chapter 4? Submit to God, the highest authority, then resist the devil and he runs. I've got to be under authority to walk in authority. For the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus to work for me, I have to submit myself to authority. Until that authority contradicts the word of God, and then you don't submit to that, but to God. Right? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resist the ordinances of God. That they may resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Whoa. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he or she is a minister of God, people in positions of authority. They are a minister of God to thee for good. They're supposed to be for good. When they're for evil, we need to pray them out of office. They're supposed to be there for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he or she is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon those that do evil. God's positions of authority are to protect good and punish evil. And you and I both know what used to be good is now evil, and what used to be evil is now good. The Bible talks about that. That's wrong leadership. That's wrong leadership. Biblical leadership is to do good and not evil, is to promote good and punish evil. Okay? Verse 5. Y'all still with me, everybody? Okay. Wherefore, you must need be subject, not only for wrath, but also for your conscience sake. And you know, the Bible says, if my conscience isn't clear, then my faith won't work. Whoa. For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually unto this very thing. Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due. Didn't Jesus say, give taxes to whom taxes is due? Right? I know it's hallelujah, hallelujah, jalapeno, glory to God. Render therefore unto all their, I didn't write the Bible if I had. That probably wouldn't be in there. Praise the Lord. Pay tax. Okay, you all are holier than me. Custom to whom custom is, fear to whom fear, honor their position to whom honor is due. What do we pray and how do we pray for those in authority? Seven things, real quick, as the team comes out. Here's what we pray, and through our prayers, people can change, culture, society, cities, states, and nations. Amen. So pray first for those in authority before I pray for anything else, because it affects everything else. So we pray for them, number one, to receive godly wisdom, that they'll be open to godly wisdom and that they're surrounded by godly counselors. godly wisdom. Now, that would be in line with the Word of God. Am I right? That would be in line with the Word of God. Number two, we pray that they would have discernment. I know this sounds elementary, but not today. Discernment to know right from wrong. Discernment to know right from wrong. What used to be wrong is still wrong. What used to be right is still right. Discernment to know right from wrong. See, they're blinded. Am I right? They're blinded. They can't see the truth. And we found out when we pray for those in authority, they begin to get a revelation and knowledge of the truth, which is the Bible. Number three, to be an instrument of God, pray that they be a tool, not of Satan, not of evil, but to be an instrument of God. To be an instrument of God. So number one, what do we pray for them to have? Godly wisdom, listen to godly counsel. Because whoever has their ear is controlling them, right? Number two, we pray for them to discernment, know right from wrong. Number three, we pray for them to be an instrument of God, an instrument and a tool of God. Number four, we pray that through them, God's will be done, that through them, the will of God would be done. Wow. Number five, for them to be born again, if they're not a born again believer, we pray it's God's will for all of them to be born again. Am I right? So we're praying the will of God that if they aren't born again, that they would get born again and planted in a local church. Okay. Number six, for them to function in their office in agreement, not with the culture or the trends or who might have something on them, but we're to pray for them to function in their office in agreement, not with some particular party or interest group, but they would function in their office in agreement with God's holy word. That they would function in their office in agreement with God's holy word. Number seven, we pray this for them as we pray first for those in authority. This is first of all, to remove the ungodly and be replaced with the godly. And that Washington won't change them when they get there. To remove the ungodly and replace them with the real, authentic, real deal godly. There are many more other things we can pray for them, but I wanted to give you seven so you'd have some takeaways right away that you can begin to pray. And I'm telling you, if one could put 1,000 to flight, what can we all do? For your family and your friends, your neighborhood, your school, where you work, our city, our state, and our nation, it's possible through prayer. I'm done. Did you get something today? Come on, let's thank God for the word. Amen. He's always been good to me. How about you? And he's a good God today. Would you stand? Nobody leaving. Would you stand and bow your heads, please? Christians are praying under their breath. If you're here today or you're online and you say, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with God, or Pastor, heads are bowed, Christians are praying, I've drifted away from God. Pastor, I want to know God. I want to know his forgiveness. I want to know his purpose for my life. I want to know when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't want to waste the dash. What are you talking about, Pastor? On a tombstone, there's two dates, the date of your birth and the date of your death. I can't really do anything about that, but in the middle, there's a dash. That's your life. What are you going to do with your dash? You say, Pastor, I want to know God. I want a relationship with God. I need him to forgive me. I need to know why I'm here. I need to know when I die, I'm going to heaven. Or Pastor, I've drifted away. I want to come back to him today. I want to make my life count. Pray for me. If that's you online, punch the button on your screen, your computer, your smartphone. Here in this room, nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to bother you. I just want you got to do something. Faith is an act. And I want to know who I'm praying for. I want His forgiveness, Pastor. I need to know I'm forgiven. I want to know my purpose. I want to know why I'm here. And I want to know and not live with fear of death. I want to know when I die, I'm going to heaven. Pastor, pray for me. I've been drifting away from God. I want to come back. If that's you, again, I'm just going to pray a corporate prayer. But if that's you, the Bible says when one decision is made, all of heaven rejoices. And I kind of think your loved ones that are in heaven know when you make this decision as well. Pastor, pray for me. Just lift your hand up, would you? In every section, wave it at me. Thank you. Every section, just lift your hand up, wave it at me, and then put it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's somebody who didn't raise your hand, and you need to raise your hand, and you know you should. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. God is for you today. God forgives, accepts, redeems, restores. He has a purpose for your life. You should have raised your hand. You didn't. Here's another opportunity. Raise your hand right now and just say, Pastor, pray for me today. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, God. Every section, I see hands, ushers. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Let's all pray right now, everybody. Let's help them. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for me and that He rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Right now, I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. I commit to spend the rest of my life serving You, following You. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and make a difference with my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can look up. Let's celebrate as our host comes.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.